Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. They ain't going to be in there. But 51% of your prison will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Blacks won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economic. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control business and industry, and put that pools in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 or 13 times for at least. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folk got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations who got the money. That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor then is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor then is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk only control less than 35 thousandths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about something like about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. And so you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad mouthing you. And O'Reilly. They can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't even communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. You know you only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March for what? Who cares? Marching, they never changed anything.
Thank you. many a young athlete entertains hoop dreams. Few, if any, have tried as hard to make them come true as the kid our Steve Hartman has gone to see.
Every week, he set himself up for disappointment. Every week, 13-year-old Jamarian Stiles came to this community center in Boca Raton, Florida, hoping to play basketball with the other kids. And every week, he was rejected.
They'll start picking teams, and I would be the only one left out. And then they'll just tell me, just go home and stuff. You can break someone's heart like that.
The problem was obvious to everyone but Jamarian. He lost his hands and most of his arms as an infant due to a rare bacterial infection. But he insisted that was no reason to give up his hoop dreams.
What about soccer? Have you heard of that sport?
Yeah, hear it every day.
Why don't you play soccer? That just seems like the obvious thing.
You would think that I would be good at soccer. I'm really not. I'm horrible.
Which is why, on the first day of class here at Eagles Landing Middle School, Jamarian took his case to basketball coach Darian Williams.
Yeah.
Said he wanted to be on the team this year.
I said, all great, well, just make sure you try out.
He said, okay, great, but what are you really thinking?
This man has no arms.
Yeah.
How is he going to play basketball? But man, he told me, Mr. Williams, I've never been on a team before. Even if I don't play, I just want to be on the team. And how could I say no to that?
And that's how the Eagles got their first armless basketball player. Jamarian, number two there, quickly earned a reputation as the hardest worker on the squad.
He was usually the first one in the gym, usually the last one to leave.
Still, he sat on the bench most of the season.
Try one more.
Until last month. Coach put him in the game with about 6 minutes left. And when he eventually got the ball on the far side of the court, everyone yelled, shoot it! So he did. And sank. A three-pointer. And if you didn't quite see that, don't worry. Because shortly after, he got the ball again. This time on the near side. For another three-pointer. At the buzzer. Jamarian Stiles. The kid no one would pick. Was now everyone's hero. Needless to say, today, Jamarian can play all he wants at the community center. He just made the volleyball team and has every intention of playing football next year. Really, the only thing he won't play is the victim.
If I could wave a magic wand right now and give you your arms back, would you want them?
I don't need them.
You don't need them?
No. Nope.
Who needs hands when you've got this kind of touch?
Now, learn this from Joel Osteen. That's my man. He be texting me. That's my man. This God done put some people around me, show me some stuff. He was telling this story. He said this man that went to heaven, and he was walking with Peter down this aisleway, and it was going down this corridor, had a lot of doors on it, and said all these doors had names on it. And he said, Peter, let me ask you something. What's all these doors, these names on? He said, don't worry about it. Just go ahead. So he kept walking. And he messed around. He saw one of them doors and had his name on it. He said, whoa. He said, hey, Peter, this here ain't got my name on it. Something I need to know? He said, man, don't worry about that. You here now. Just go on in there and talk to him. See what he's here. He said, nah, I won't know what's in the door. He said, you sure you won't see what's in the door? He said, yeah. So he opened up the door. It was a warehouse. It had nothing but shelves on it. And then the shelves had nothing but packages. And all the packages had his name on them. And he said, what is all these boxes? He said, that's all of the blessings. All of the things God wanted to ship to you. But number one, you didn't ask him for it. Then number two, you didn't believe you would have it. Then you doubted him. And then you felt like you wasn't worthy. And so now all these boxes is up here. Now the man standing there wishing he had never even been in the room. And I started thinking. I got some dudes that work for me. And I said, I want you to do this graph for me. And that's what I'm finna show you now. See, what you're having is when God sends your package, he only sends it to one street. That's Faith Street. You got to stay in faith. You can't move off of Faith Street. You can't get on Doubted Drive. You can't be over there and start doubting it because your package going to go right on by. You can't lose your faith and get on Not Meant to Be way, because your package is going to keep going right on by. Because the package just go to Faith Street. You can get your little feelings hurt, I ain't worthy. Guess what? Your package going to keep going right on by. You have not because you ask not. Then you sit up here and start feeling sorry for yourself. You go on pity way, your package keep going right on by. If you stay right on Faith Street, don't ever come off, because the blessing is coming. If you wait on it, here it comes. It may not come when you want it, but it on time. But if you get up and you move off of Faith Street, your box gonna get sent back to sender. And now you're gonna have a warehouse with a bunch of boxes with your name on it that you didn't never get. And I don't know about you, but I want everything he got for me. If he got something for me, I need all of mine. Because I don't know about you, but God lay you out, man. God will give you stuff. Man, he done took me places. I ain't never thought I was going to go. I done seen parts of the world I never even thought I could go to. He done gave me stuff. He done put people in my life. God will do it for you, man. But you just got to stay, man. Use these principles of success. Understand, God is just that way. He'll lay you out. Because if he can lay me out, see, if he fix me and change me and get me over here trying to do better, I ain't perfect. I'm just trying to do better. I still say some stuff I ain't supposed to say. You understand? I ain't got it all together yet. I just got in the gate. I'm a new kind of Christian. But ain't no lock on my gate either. So if you see, once you check me, I'm probably going to check you back. But I'm getting better at that. I don't know how to love my enemies yet. I'm getting better at it, though. But it's a process. And the more times we can make people understand that it's a process, the more people can come in. And y'all people that have been good to me, that have been praying for me. I mean, man, my mama, if she could see me now, I just wish my mama could see me. Because she's been praying for this hill all her life. Watch my son. Well, he done watched me, mama. And I'm cool now. And my philosophy is very simple. I was who I was, but I am who I am. And I'm cool with both them people. Because who I was wasn't that bad cap. I made some mistakes, but I've been changed a little bit. And it's still a process. And the more people that you invite into the process, the better this is. Because ain't nobody perfect no how. So I really appreciate y'all, man, hearing me and listening to me. I'm going to ask Kirk Franklin if he will come.
All right, no Kirk Franklin at the current time. All right, it's time for It's My House. And that's our podcast live stream that we've been doing here, working on 9 years. It'll be 9 years, nine consecutive years, December the 24th. Of this year. In any event, today's, now you know on here, the regulars know, we cover trending topics, we cover a whole lot on here. But today we're sort of going back to our roots, and we're covering one aspect of the topic of housejacking, also known as house hijacking, depending on what part of the globe that you're in. In the 50 states, there's only one state, and I don't even know if they enforce it, that's in Michigan, where essentially, and housejacking is all right, let's get a visual on this. You know, everybody knows what carjacking is, okay? Housejacking is essentially the same thing, except you're not doing a car. You're doing a house, all right? You have Airbnb hosts who have had their rental property housejacked. In other words, somebody took it. Now, it might be a temporary take, you know, where they're just not getting out, or it could be a legal take where they actually take the house. All right. So we're going to talk about one distinction of housejacking or house hijacking, and I know, like, see, in all 50 states, There's only one state, that's Michigan, and it's been on the books probably no more than 4 or 5 years. But I don't know if they're enforcing the state because house hijacking is rampant in the city of Detroit. And in South Africa, the country, housejacking or house hijacking, that's really a criminal. That's a criminalized that. Well, you can go to prison in that country for it. However, the housejacking that we're going to talk about today is legal. It's legal, and most people that live in a house and they have a deed to that house, they don't know anything about housejacking at all. So that's why we bring this topic up every now and then. But it comes in different forms. You have different predators out there. So we're going to share with you what maybe a couple of those predators look like today. Now, let me lay out some fundamental bases here. There's real estate, and then there's housing. All right? Real estate typically has a housing component to it. Housing doesn't necessarily have to be real estate. Most people who have a deed, and we got international listeners on this the live stream, but this is United States specific. Most people who have a deed think they own the house 100% outright. Well, that's not true, and I'll explain that, and you can fact check me on this as I speak. I'll get to it in a moment. All right, and then there's housing, where you can legally own it 100% outright. Now, for instance, if you go buy a shirt, if you go buy a hamburger, if you go buy a pair of shoes, and whatever you want to buy, and you hand over the money, and you take it with you, and you never have to pay that entity again, you own that 100% legally outright. With real estate, okay, the case. With real estate, all a deed is a record of the activity on the property, you know, who bought it, who sold it, when, you know, liens and all that. That's on the deed. And now, in many cases, you have certain rights that you have. You know, you have the right to occupy it. You have a right to rent it out, depends on the jurisdiction. But in many cases, you own the right to occupy it. You own the right to rent it out. And in some cases, depending on where you are, like in New York City or Los, some big place like that, you have to get a permit to rent out your house.
Now, learn this from Joel Osteen. That's my man. He be texting me. That's my man. This God done put some people around me, show me some stuff. He was telling this story. He said this man that went to heaven, and he was walking with Peter down this aisleway, and it was going down this corridor, had a lot of doors on it, and said all these doors had names on it. And he said, Peter, let me ask you something. What's all these doors, these names on? He said, don't worry about you.
You know what? Thanks for calling. All right, hold on. I'm going to hang up. You should be able to hear me on my other phone. All right. Okay. Let me do it this way. All right, can you hear me?
Yes.
All right, good. All right, well, you know what? I guess that's the key to bring you on. All right, so today's topic is housejack, legalized house theft. We have a guest on. And before we get to her,
There's a movie that if you haven't seen it yet, I suggest you watch it. It's called Pacific Heights, starring Michael Keaton. And in that movie, all out, I don't want to be give you any spoiler alerts, but I'll say this. If you want to learn about one of the ways in which a house can be housejacked, watch the movie Pacific Heights, starring Michael Keaton. I know you can check it out on Amazon. You can probably buy it on YouTube as well as Amazon as well. All right, so our guest for today is Keel King. Am I pronouncing that right, Keel or Kyle?
Keel.
Keel King. So yes. Thank you for coming on this morning. Now, Keel, could you explain who you are and what you do?
Okay. Good morning, and I want to tell you thank you for having me on. I appreciate your invitation. My name is Keel King, and I am a realtor in New Orleans, Louisiana. I also have a property solutions company that works with problem properties, such as properties that has been sold for taxes, that's been through a tax sale, maybe adjudicated to the city of New Orleans, homes that have maybe an issue with not knowing how to go through succession and transfer title, may have different liens on it, any different properties that you can, any different problems that you can think of, basically is what I deal with my property solutions company.
Okay. Now, yeah, you're in Louisiana, so which I guess goes under what they call Napoleonic law or something like that. It's unique
yes.
to the other 50 states.
Correct.
Well, let me ask you, what I don't know. So what's the difference between what New Orleans law, Louisiana law versus Alabama law or Texas law when it comes to, you know, some of the things you mentioned?
Well, there are many differences in the laws when it comes to Louisiana and other states. More of the southern region, our states are pretty similar. And when you span out to different parts throughout the United States, that's when the big difference hits. I mean, our language, basically, how can I say this? Our language is totally different from the rest of the United States. Even when I was in real estate school, there's a national portion and a state portion, and our state portion was bigger than the national portion. As far as I'm not too familiar with laws in other states, but I do know that there's a big difference in our laws.
Okay. There's been a pandemic. I don't know if we're out of it yet, but it seems like everything's back to normal. Or I'm just too used to the new normal. So we've had a pandemic, and the courts were closed down in many of the court regions throughout the United States for the past, well, I don't know about this year, but the year before that and the year before that, a lot of courts were closed.
Mm-hmm.
Not everything shut down, but many were. So as I mentioned earlier, like in Baltimore, Maryland, you can lose your house if you don't pay a municipal water bill or you don't pay a property tax bill. So let's go with the property tax bill. And there's, you know, the homeowner has a certain amount of time to pay that, and, you know, they notify the owner or whatever, and if they don't act on it, they can lose the house by not paying the property taxes. And I guess that's basically any way you go. But in New Orleans, how does it work there?
Well, here in New Orleans, if the property owner doesn't pay the property tax, they are eligible for what is called a tax sale. And what happens in a tax sale is the property, the city of New Orleans, the Bureau of Treasury, actually has an interest in your home now with the past due property taxes. And what they're looking to do is that they're looking to sell that interest and transfer ownership. So if a homeowner gets behind on their property taxes, someone can purchase the property taxes in a tax sale, and what they'll receive is a tax sale certificate, and it's an interest in the property. And once that happens, the redemption period starts. And a redemption period is basically 3 years where the property owner has to redeem their property back from the city, pay the past due taxes and any interest and fees, and they can redeem their property. And once that redemption period is up, that's where the problem kicks in.
Okay. And like, as I was, I don't know how much you guys call that, but that's what I was telling people earlier, that when it comes to the term real estate, like, see, there's a distinction between real estate and housing. With real estate, although your name might be on a deed, your senior de facto partner is the taxing authority. They have the trump card of ownership. So if you don't pay the property taxes or the municipal water bill, they can foreclose on your property. That's not going to happen with a mobile home or I deal with like what people would call extreme housing. I'm in the tiny houses myself. But
okay,
the tiny houses, at least the ones I deal with, they're all mobile. They're portable, even if they're not on wheels, but they're considered private property, and there's no yearly tax bill on it because, like I say, the tax assessment, in my opinion, really only benefits the city. It sounds good to have a $500,000 house, and your tax bill might be on that. I'm just ballpark figuring it. It might be $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 a year. Now, that benefits the city. The higher your property comes in on a tax assessment, although you can appeal it, but all that, you know, it really benefits the city, whereas with a mobile home or a tiny house, or if you make a house out of a corn silo or what have you, then those are not assessed by the city. Those types of housing are privately owned. They're private property, and they're used as housing. Whereas real estate, like I say, your de facto senior partner is the local taxing authority. So if you don't keep them happy, that's you know, your house can go up for foreclosure. Now, the name of your business, once again, is No Solutions is in the name.
Yes, Lack Property Solutions.
Give us you know what? Let me ask you this question before I ask that question.
Uh-huh.
What's the percentage of demographically? What the demographic numbers are in New Orleans? You know, whites, blacks, Latinos, what have you?
I don't have that on hand right now. No, I don't know that offhand. I can find that out for you though.
Okay. And now visually though, is the city being gentrified anywhere?
Well, yes, and I like to say colonized, because we could gentrify our own neighborhoods gentrification to me, in my opinion, is just the beautification of a neighborhood. Now, colonizing is where, you know, you get the white people coming on in and taking over our neighborhoods. Yes, that is happening. We have a lot of neighborhoods.
I like the way you put it, though. I think we're going to go with that from now on. Colonization. I like that.
Yes. Okay. Yes. So, we have a lot of colonization going on here. And it's becoming an issue. It's becoming an issue here.
How long has that been going on from, in your point, a professional point of view, in New Orleans?
It's been going on for a while. I think that we are just actually recognizing it within the last few years, but it's been going on for a while. Now it's just, how can I say, blatant and unapologetic right now.
That's the right word, unapologetic. Do you, now, with, you know, I'm going to look up those stats.
I have them here.
New Orleans,
Denver.
Yeah, what kind of numbers we got for New Orleans?
So we have 59% of Black, African American, and 33% of white, 2.89% of Asian, and 2.55 of two or more races.
Okay, so Black folks, it's 59% still?
Yep.
All right. That, you know what? That's good. Now, Washington, D.C., when I was in high school, it was 70%, probably more than 70% Black African-American. Now it's 43% and shrinking. So using the word that you use, and I agree with it, D.C. has been colonized. And one of the ways that colonized via housejacking, and one of the ways would be through and other things. I mean, code for matter of fact, another film that I recommend people watch is a documentary. We've covered the documentary on here about three or four times over the last 8 years or so. It's called Flag Wars. Flag Wars.
Mm-hmm.
The trailers are on YouTube. It used to be on YouTube for free. I don't know if it's back on there for free, but you can definitely rent it and or buy it on YouTube or definitely Amazon. I went on and bought a digital copy. But Flag Wars is a documentary of how a historically Black neighborhood was – well, let's use our new vocabulary here. It was colonized by housejacking. Now, the way they did it there is they went through code enforcement. That's how they took over that neighborhood there, through code enforcement. They have a housing, what they call it there, environmental court. And we're talking about big houses that were many mansions. And in this particular neighborhood, what they focused in on, we had at least five Black churches that were in that particular neighborhood. So there's one of the things that I'm noticing in a lot of urban areas is that a lot of Black folk lose their homes because they, and this is one of the topics I have here on our program notes here on Blog Talk Radio, what I call property tax chess. And for my regular listeners, you already know that I use chess analogies a lot. So what Ms. King, and let me break it down this way. When it comes to property tax chess, when you're playing the game of chess, fundamentally speaking, the first thing that you must learn, the first skill set that you must learn is the board. What is the landscape of the chess board? We know that a chessboard has 64 squares. And we know how many players that we have. We know how many pawns that are out there to start the game. You know, we have two bishops. We have two rooks. We have two knights. We have a queen, one queen, one king. The object of the game is to checkmate the king. But before you get even to the point, you got to know how they move. But you must know the landscape. So Ms. King has a business based on solutions because she knows the landscape, and she got the right word as being colonized. Not only New Orleans, but D.C., going Baltimore. I heard up in – I haven't been up in Detroit in a while, but Detroit too, because these cities – these major cities that we're talking about, including New Orleans, I mean, you know, if you live in, for instance, you got a job in New Orleans, some people like to walk to work. Others like to take a bike to work. You know, you got Uber and Lyft out there now. But is the subway, the streetcar system still running in New Orleans? Ms. King, you there?
I'm here. I'm sorry. It went out for a second.
Does the streetcar system still run in New Orleans?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, some people like to take the streetcar, you know, to work or what have you. So New Orleans infrastructure, it has a good infrastructure, you know, airport. I mean, it's convenient. A city like New Orleans is the way it is and has the population that it has because they offer many comfort and conveniences that, you know, might make life a little bit easier. Now, the thing is infrastructure costs money, and cities need money to run, and one of the ways that they get it is through property taxes. So now, with this pandemic, if you're forecasting, what do you think's going to happen? I mean, because the pandemic's happened, and you think that's going to have an effect on, you think that's going to slow down or speed up the colonization of New Orleans?
I actually think that it has sped up already. As we are, in my opinion, maybe ending toward the ending of the pandemic, it has sped up. There was a clause during the pandemic that, how can I say this, properties that were behind on their taxes, they had an additional 60 days to redeem the property back. So it was 3 years and 60 days instead of just the 3 days flat. As we know, 2 months is not nothing that can really make a difference in getting your property back. So even though there was some type of relief during the pandemic, to me, it wasn't in the amount to where a homeowner can still salvage their property. So I still believe that there was definitely a high rate of colonization during the pandemic. I mean, as we know, during the pandemic, people have fallen on hard times. And if your property taxes aren't paid, I mean, you already may be on hard time. That may be a sign of desperation already because you are kind of putting at risk one of your most valued assets, right?
Right.
So with the pandemic, you're falling on hard times. I mean, it's just almost like a snowball effect. So definitely the colonization has sped up during the pandemic. And now that there's talks of a recession and maybe even a depression, depending on how you look at it, I mean, I think that it's going to be even worse than what it was in the pandemic.
Mm. Well, does New Orleans have a visible homeless problem?
Yes, definitely.
What, you know what the demographics look like on that?
I don't know the demographics on the homeless population, but there's definitely an issue, and there's now an even more recent issue. As you know, our beloved French Quarter is a tourist magnet, and
right.
As citizens of New Orleans, we see homelessness throughout the city. Well, now it's spreading in the French Quarter, and now the tourists are starting to complain. So we now see an influx of homelessness spread into the beloved French Quarter, where now the tourists are complaining. So it's more visible than ever right now. And I do not blame it on the pandemic, but, I mean, it was heightened during the pandemic. You have, you know, a lot of people that have been a victim to landlords who were illegally evicting their tenants during the pandemic.
How can that, hold on. How can that happen? Because I know, like, in Washington, D.C. or New York City, or definitely Detroit, a landlord's got to go to court to evict. And it's very hard to evict tenants in those cities.
Well, here, it's the same way. We've had a few issues. I've even seen on the news where there were tenants who weren't paying their rent, and the landlords are basically beginning to force the tenants out, right? So it may not be an eviction where where they say, oh, get out the house. I don't care what the eviction laws or courts say. They do things like cut off the water to the property,
That's illegal in D.C.
to the property.
Landlords can't do that in D.C.
I honestly believe that it's illegal here, too. I don't know. I don't want to, say anything that I don't know as a fact.
Well, you're telling the truth, because I know of a woman that lives in New Orleans, and she had just got out of a shelter. And that's what the landlord, she got into a new place, and she wasn't in there long, with no more than 2 weeks. And that's what the landlord did to her, and she had to move.
Wow. I mean, it's an issue here. It's been done. And the courts were closed, of course, like all around the country. So it was hard to even get any type of response. So if you're getting evicted illegally during a pandemic, I mean, who are you going to call? What are you going to do? I mean, it's just a recipe for disaster. And on top of that, we have a huge problem with residents not being able to receive for mental health care.
Right.
And that contributes to the homelessness also.
Getting back to the let's deal with solutions. So now, what solutions can you offer a person that might be dealing with a landlord, unsavory landlord, and or they got a property tax solution, or I don't know how to handle water bills in New Orleans like that, but I imagine they'll shut you down on that too. So what kind of solutions does your company offer?
Well, when a homeowner is behind on their taxes and they risk losing their property, I try to before that redemption period ends. Once their redemption period ends, the person who purchased the tax sale certificate on the property, they gain a hard interest in the property, meaning that the city is out of it. You can't redeem your property through the city anymore. You would have to retain legal counsel and get your property back through the court system. And that way is 10 times harder than redeeming it back from the city. And 9 times out of 10, you're not going to redeem your property for the amount that was paid to purchase that tax sale certificate.
Let me ask you this. Now, you say 10 times harder. So So the city's out of the picture. So so you have to hire a lawyer. Okay. I get that. That's slow as well, could you break that down to us? Once the city's out of it, why do you think it's harder? It's harder to redeem it, particularly for the amount of money that the city was trying to get out of you in the first place. You already said it, you have to hire a lawyer, so let's say that's $2,000 out of your pocket right there. All right. Continue on.
Well, after the redemption period, you can't go through the city to get the property anymore. So you're going to be dealing directly with the tax sale purchaser, right, which is these predatory tax companies who's purchased that tax sale certificate for pennies on the dollar. And they're looking to make a profit. And sometimes they're not even interested in you getting your property back. So, for instance, just say there's $10,000 worth of taxes that this a tax sale company has purchased, and they have a tax sale and they have a tax sale certificate on your property. Well, you can go to that company and say, "Hey, I know you purchased the tax sale certificate for $10,000. Here's the $10,000. I want you to sign back over your interest from my property. Give me back my so I can have 100% interest in my property." That tax sale certificate holder is not going to say, "Okay, here, give me the $10,000. Here's your property back." 10 times out of 10, they're going to either sell it back to you for an enormous amount if they're okay with parting from the property, or they're going to say, "No, let's go to court. I have a hard interest in this property, and we're not willing to give this property up at this time." And that's when you retain your counsel and you start paying legal fees and you begin to negotiate prices if they're willing to sell. You begin to negotiate your property. I worked with a property in the neighborhood I grew up in and years ago. The property had She saw that they purchased a tax sale certificate for about $3,500, and for them to get that property back, they had to pay about $8,000. And the only reason that she agreed to sell them back that tax sale certificate is because it had been so long and her husband had forgot about this particular property. But that's what I mean when I say that you'll never get your property back for what the tax sale purchaser purchased it for.
Okay, well, I understand that. Now, the way New Orleans is, from your experience, would the average homeowner know that their property might be in jeopardy?
No, they won't know. They'll get notices that their property taxes is past due. They will get a notice that a property is eligible for a tax sale and is going to a tax sale. After the tax sale has happened, it's the practice here to change the address to the tax sale purchaser's address. So any further communication from the city after the tax sale is going to the tax sale purchaser. So the homeowner isn't getting any of that information. So that redemption clock starts ticking, and the homeowner may know nothing about it.
And that's the predatory part of this, I'm assuming.
I would say the predatory part would be with the tax sale purchaser. Because the city does notify the resident of the past due taxes, the city does notify them of a tax sale. Now, once a tax sale has been completed and a redemption clock starts, there's no more communication from the city because the address has been changed to the tax sale purchaser. So after that tax sale has happened, there's no way for the resident seeking more communication from the city, but they have
okay.
notified.
Now, all right, once the city's out of the picture, okay, then the person who has the tax certificate, because we're talking about the tax certificate, not the deed, am I correct?
Yes.
All right, then the person who has the tax certificate, they will normally, I'm assuming, just guide me because, you know more about this than I do. Then the person who purchased the tax certificate, then they have to start through the legal system the foreclosure process, am I correct, which goes to court?
Yes. I don't think it's a foreclosure process, but it is a process to where they're gaining 100% ownership of the property.
Okay. So, all right, well, ooh, all right, yeah, Louisiana is definitely different. So it's not considered a foreclosure, but they have to go through a legal process. Well, what happens with the legal process? All right, they get in front of a judge, and then what?
They get in front of a judge, and they submit all of their information and their documents, and the judge would grant the tax sale purchaser will grant them ownership of the property if there's no contesting. It is a process. It's not a quick process. It's not an how can I say? It's not a an easy process, but it's doable, and it's been done a bunch of times throughout the city. And I'm thinking the reason that there's no contestant to it is because the homeowner doesn't know.
Ah, I see. Now, so the city doesn't even let the homeowner, they don't even know, let them know when there's a court date. That's what it sounds like. Is that true or false?
Yeah, because it's out of the city's hand at that point. So once that redemption period. Yeah, once that redemption period ends, it's the city's out of it. All they
so
do is
the house.
Give
the house is foreclosed. All right, that's not the right word. Foreclosed. So they don't even know that there's a court date, and then one day somebody knocks on their door, and it could be the sheriff. I don't know how they do it in Louisiana. I mean, New Orleans or the state, but then they got to roll out of the house now.
Yes.
Woo, that's rough, man. That's real rough.
Yeah.
Now, how long does that process typically take?
That process, like I said, it's not short, but it's not lengthy at the same time.
Yeah, because we're talking about, because it's uncontested. Now, hold, let me give you another scenario. What if somebody finds out, oh, wait a minute, you know, somebody else, you know, let's put the example that you gave a minute ago. All right. Let's say the person finds out, the household finds out, and they've got 100% of the money to pay the taxes, but the city's out of the deal. So, you know, the plaintiff, the one who has the tax certificate, initiates a court date. You know what? That's interesting. From your experience, do they initiate the court date first, or do they send a letter to a person? You know, we've acquired this. You know, we got this interest in it. Are you interested? You know, from your what are you experience? Do they get the court date first, or they send a letter or a representative to the address?
Now, I believe that it's a mailing. It's not sending someone to the property. But I will say this.
Right.
A lot of properties are acquired through tax sale certificates. They are acquired because there isn't anyone contesting it. So if someone goes and contests this to the court, if there's a court date, the court does favor the property owner, but that's
right.
The problem. That there's not a lot of contesting, right? That's where the issue come in, because there's no knowledge, basically, of it.
Right, right. Now, the other question is, now let's say the occupant or owner, what have you, they have 100% of the monies, you know, that's the original amount due. But then,
mm-hmm.
as you stated earlier, the person who has the tax certificate, they have a legal right to ask for more money. Am I correct?
They do. Yes.
All right. So I guess it's up to the judge to say what's reasonable and
go from there, I guess.
It is, exactly. And like I said, the courts do favor the property owner. I have not seen a situation where someone owes $10,000 in property taxes and the tax sale company say, hey, I want $50,000 back, and the judge say, hey, well, $50,000 it is. No, the courts do favor the property owner. The issue, like I said, is just when there's no contesting against what's going on.
Right.
Right.
Well, yeah, if nobody shows up, it's a, what do you call it, a default judgment.
Yes.
I know once I have a property in another city, so I had a problematic, I'll call, you know what, it was a house hijacker, because I'm going with today's title, house jacked. Mm-hmm. And she was a, what do you call it, a house sitter. Okay. So long story short, she tried to take the house. But at the time when it all started, it started off with like a doorknob. And I live like 900 miles away, man. So I had to fly up to this city of 900 miles away and go to court over a doorknob. But if I, now here's why I showed up. I got a court date, and I showed up because in their complaint in civil court, they were asking for 6,000. It was like an exact number, 6,000. It was $6,166, some exact figure. I know it was at least $6,000. But if I didn't show up, then they would have got a default judgment and got $6,000 out of me. I mean,
wow.
You know. I had to travel 900 miles.
Wow.
For a 10-minute, if that, a 10-minute court session in order not to get, you know, get slammed with a $6,000 judgment. So,
yeah.
But the thing is, they mailed it to me. So I wasn't in the dark. I wasn't in the dark at all. All right, well, if you're in Louisiana, I guess it doesn't matter. I mean, Louisiana law is Louisiana law. But New Orleans is, and not only New Orleans, but a lot of cities like New Orleans, due to the fact that, you know, a lot of these major cities have to replace infrastructure. They got payroll to meet. A lot of their local government employees are now unionized. Not all places, but many are. All that's expensive. So to live in these cities, as one of our regular listeners would say on here, you practically need to become wealthy. Matter of fact, what's your take on that, Ms. King? Is New Orleans a place for poor people anymore?
In my opinion, I think it's not. Everything is rising. We have the colonization of the neighborhoods, which is pricing us out of our own neighborhoods. It's pushing us out. You're pushing us out of our own neighborhoods, pricing us out to what? Go to rent property at these high rates. I mean, rent has gone up. The cost of living has gone up, and the wages has not, in response to everything going up. And hold on, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I mean, the work here is just not for us. I mean, it's a place where we're just getting priced, like I said, priced out of our neighborhoods, and we are we're kind of living on the edge a little bit. If you really think of it, we're kind of living on the edge a little bit, and the rich are getting richer, and of course the wealth gap is getting larger here.
Okay. Well, now give us the name of your business again.
It's Lack Property Solutions, LAK, Lack Property Solutions.
And give us a phone number if people want to contact you.
It's 504-912-1477.
Okay. Now she offers, she's in New Orleans, and she has solutions that people might be interested in New Orleans or Louisiana specific now. Not Alabama, Mississippi, whatever. We're talking about Louisiana specific. And you can contact her direct on it. You have a website or anything?
No, my website is currently under construction. I tried to do it myself, and I didn't quite like how it was coming out. So I contract someone to build it for me. So right now it's under construction.
Oh, okay. All right. There's one website, I forgot the name of Friday. They had like real easy ones to do. Or you can, you got a Facebook page?
No, I don't have a, I don't have a Facebook or an Instagram page yet. I haven't done that for my business. I need to do that, honestly.
All right. You on Clubhouse?
No, you kind of introduced me to Clubhouse, so I've never downloaded the app or anything until you, till we spoke about it. So no, I'm not.
Oh,
on Clubhouse.
You're on there now?
Yeah,
I mean, downloaded
the account. It's I don't even know my name. I just.
All right, well, I'll talk to you later about that because you got people
okay.
on there that you would fit. Well, you'll probably get some clients off of that particular app, but. We're speaking today with Keel King. She is in New Orleans. She is a property tax solutions consultant. And as she stated, now we're being New Orleans specific today, or Louisiana specific. So matter of fact, Ms. King, is now, are the same rules that apply to New Orleans, would they apply to Baton Rouge as well?
No, it's parish specific. So everything that we're speaking about is in Orleans parish. Mm-hmm.
Okay, parish specific. All right.
Yes.
And for people who are not familiar with the state of Louisiana, most states in the United States have a county system. All right. Now, there are two exceptions in the United States. Louisiana, The county equivalent in Louisiana, they're called parishes, all right? Mm-hmm. And I guess not all parishes are the same, just like in the United States, you know, these other states, all counties are not the same. They have different rules and regulations. And in Alaska, you have a borough system. They don't. So that's the parish or county equivalent in the state of Alaska. That's interesting. So New Orleans, and all right, that's good to know as well. Okay, 619-768-2945 is the number if you have any questions. But yeah, so now I titled this podcast today, House Jack, Legalized House Theft. So there are many ways to steal a house. So, and you can do it legally with a suit on, all right? But property taxes are one way that it can be done. You know, picking up municipal water bill. Now, you got to stay on, like, that's what I'm saying. You got to stay on top of this stuff. You need to know the landscape of which people that might want to take your property. And that's why I'm recommending to watch the film Flag Wars, okay, where a historic black neighborhood was colonized. Some people call it gentrification, but colonized, it fits. And we're talking about historic houses. I mean, like, we're talking about many mansions. And how it was done is because the people who lived in the neighborhood and grew up in the neighborhood did not know the landscape, or in this case, the property or the code enforcement landscape. I'm applying the game of chess to this. They did not know it. So if you don't know the landscape for property taxes, or code enforcement. If you don't know the landscape and you don't know the players, you have absolutely no chance of winning. However, if you know the landscape and you know the players and how they move, legally speaking, then you can put together a strategy to win. But you've got to know the landscape first. But a lot of people, they just don't know the landscape. So now we'll be back in a couple of minutes with Ms. King right after this. Okay, my audio, okay, is the board got his own mind today. Ms. King, you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right. I pressed the audio for, but for some reason it's not playing. Let me see if I can refresh my board. Battle started up. All right. So, Ms. King, now why did you start your business, your solutions business? Because it's much needed.
I started my business because I kept running into the same clients, right? I tried my hand at regular residential real estate, and it was fine. It was okay, but it just wasn't, how can I say, it wasn't interesting enough for me. I wanted to find a niche. And I began to become interested in investing. I was interested in flipping homes and wholesaling. And throughout that journey of investing and wholesaling, I took an interest to these homes that were distressed, that were considered a problem property. It kept falling into my lap. I kept getting clients that were in situations and sort of needed a bailout. And these were clients that were behind on their taxes, maybe have went through a tax sale and they're looking to sell their property quickly. And that's why I stepped in and, you know, sold the property and things like that. But then I started noticing a problem with the past due taxes issue and tax sales, and that began to spark an interest. So what I did was is I started to target these type of properties, right? And as I started to target these properties and speak with all these different homeowners and heirs, a lot of times I'm speaking with heirs and not so much the homeowner. Because a lot of times these properties are going into these statuses because someone has passed away or someone has inherited a property and don't know what they inherited. And as I was speaking with the owners, I can see that there was a need for a liaison between the city and these tax sale purchases.
Right.
And, I mean, it just took off from there. I mean, I just haven't looked back. Once I helped the first person redeem their property back, well, actually not redeem their property, they actually sold it.
Right.
And the relief that property owner got and the thanks that I got for helping them out of the situation, I mean, it was so gratifying to me. It just clicked the light bulb in my head, like, okay, this is what I need to be doing. I need that gratification that I received. And that's where I've been ever since.
Okay, well, I like the way you said it kept falling in your lap. So that's usually a sign that that's what you're supposed to be doing. So, and there's definitely a need for what you're talking about, particularly when it comes to the colonization, but I'm impressed that New Orleans is still 59%, so that's a healthy number. Whereas, like, say, my original home city, we done went from 70% down to 43%.
Wow.
And that's why I recommend the film Flag Wars, because these predators, and that's, like I say, housejacking. There are many ways in which you can legally steal a house. You can do you can do it through water bills. You can do it through property taxes. You can do it through housing court. You can do it through, and housing court is really housing for what, code enforcement. So I recommend to people, number one, like say, there's a distinction between housing and real estate. Real estate has a housing component, but you have a de facto senior partner, which is the local taxing authority, which means you do not own that property outright 100%. You do have some rights within that. You have a right to occupy it, you know, depending on the size of the city, you know. You can't even rent it out unless you get a permit to rent it out, along with a certificate of occupancy that goes along with that. And with some cities, I mean, you know, those fees can add up. Wherever, but I also tell people to look at the national chessboard landscape when it comes to housing and real estate. There are 19,500 municipalities in the United States. Only 10 of them have a million or more people. And I would say out of that 19,500 towns in the United States, eliminate the top 10% out of that. And you have to look at this too. 47% of the population of the United States live in towns that have a population of 5,000 people or less. Now, for me personally, I like towns that have 400 people or, no, actually, 399 people or less. That's me. Okay, because typically in those places, there's no police department. It's like Mayberry, if you do have one, where it's just like on Andy Griffith's show, everybody's friends with the sheriff. That's if they have one, but a lot of these towns don't have one. You can build a house as big as you want without pulling a permit. All right. But, like I say, the smaller, but now, if you want to go to Walmart, if you're addicted to the comfort and conveniences of a New Orleans, of a New York, of a Boston, of a Chicago, of a Seattle, you're not going to live in these places I'm talking about. All right. And you're going to probably have to develop some skill sets that, you know, in a place like New Orleans or St. Louis or San Antonio, people, culturally speaking, they buy houses. Or if they have a house built, they hire a general contractor to build the house. Whereas in a town that's got less than 399 people or less, there's a whole bunch of towns that have 100 people or less. A lot of people in those places, they build their homes. Brick by brick or wood or whatever materials they use. And they get neighbors and relatives to help them build it so they don't need a mortgage. All right. Some attach it to the ground. You know, like I've got 10 acres in Texas, and the property taxes on that 10 acres, that's 10 football fields. And oh, I paid it this year. I was late paying it. It was like $38.50 or $37.50. It was under $40 for 10 acres. Now, the nearest Walmart is 2.5-3 hours away in El Paso, Texas. I'm all right with that. All right, there's a little town not far from there, you know, 10, 15 minutes. You know, they got a general store. I get everything I need right there. And when I'm in that neck of the woods. All right, I don't need to pull a building permit. And if I put eventually I will put something on it. It won't be a permanent building because I like property that's movable. I don't like real estate. But if I did put real estate there, the property taxes wouldn't be what they are in a Chicago, Illinois. Now, we're talking about $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 or more a year. So, but I'm an extremist. So, you know, most people aren't going to go for that. Now, Ms. King offers solutions, and she'll give out her contact information here again in a moment. But since she is in New Orleans, and I've shared this story on here before, I'm going to share a solution that I've talked about on here before. And Ms. King, you might even want to contact this person just for a feel-good contact. Her name is Mignon, M-I-G-N-O-N, one word, Mignon Francois. My regulars have heard that name a few times, a dozen times by now. But since Ms. King is from New Orleans, I got to tell it again. Ms. King was married, had seven kids,
Ms. Francois,
in New Orleans, Louisiana. Lights were shut off. Water was shut off. Got seven kids. Sometimes they didn't eat until, not sometimes, oftentimes they didn't eat until 10 o'clock at night. And she got an order to bake some cupcakes, so she took $5 and turned the $5 into $60, took $5 out so she can feed family that night. That same week, took the $55 and turned that into $600. Now, oh, I forgot, this is the most I'm talking. She was facing foreclosure. Now, I don't know if it was a property tax thing or a mortgage thing or what, but she and her husband and seven kids in New Orleans, Louisiana, those cupcakes saved her. So that was the solution that she came up with. So Miss King here, Kyle King, she offers solutions. They might not be cupcakes, but she offers solutions. So Miss King, give your contact information again.
My contact information is my phone number is 504-912-1477, and my email address is Keil, at lakpropertysolutions.com. That's Keil at lakpropertysolutions.com.
Okay, and you're working on that website, and if you can pull something up on, Facebook. Get a Facebook page for your business. Whatever you're doing for marketing is working, so, you know, keep on doing what you're doing.
Okay,
I'm trying to get my studio back on my laptop, and that's why I haven't been able to get to any of the callers besides Ms. King because his board's been running crazy. They might not even keep stats on this. I'm assuming the majority of people that are in a property tax predicament in New Orleans, I would guess maybe 50% of them are black folk. I'm just speculating. I mean, based on the demographics of the city, it's 59% black. So I'm figuring at least half of the people that might be in tax problems there, property tax issues, they're black as well. I'm just speculating, but what do you think?
Yes, I think it's well over half, honestly. With all the homeowners that I've spoken with, I mean, maybe 90% of everyone who I've spoken with are black.
Well, you got an industry there because what's the current population of New Orleans?
The current population
it's got to be over 500,000. I'm guessing.
Yes, I believe so. Let me get those numbers for you. I don't want to tell you the wrong information. I hate to guess. Well, right now, we are at 392,031.
Oh, I thought it would be more than that. All right, well, 300,000 is a considerable amount of people. I know at one time the Warrens was at 500,000.
That's actually wrong. That was the increase. Okay, so it's 1 million, 1,005,000, which is the 0.7 increase from 2021.
That's the metro area, right?
Yes, that's the metro area population.
Okay. Now, you have a number for the city proper?
Let's see. No, I don't have that number.
Let me see if I can find it real quick. Let's see, New Orleans. The city that's, because you guys are below sea level, right?
Yes, we are.
All right, my board is acting crazy today. It repopulated, but I can't add any other people to the studio or play what I want to play. Let me see what I can do with. All right, New Orleans. I'm on my phone with this one. Yeah, metro population, as you stated. Yeah, and the population of the city proper is 391,249 as of 2020. Unemployment, 5.9%. Now, I know they have programs like Section 8 and all that there, but if you're not on any of those government programs, New Orleans is not cheap. I don't think it's cheap. Well, you live there. What's your take on it?
It's definitely not cheap. The rents are rising, and as far as Section 8 is, I mean, I have a bunch of people who have Section 8 vouchers, but the landlords are not willing to rent to Section 8. So that's scarce in between that also. So you have people with the vouchers but nowhere to rent because the landlords want the top of the market, which I don't understand because Section 8 pays pretty good. To me, pays at market rate. But these landlords are not really wanting to rent to Section 8 people who hold these vouchers, so that poses another problem.
Well, I can answer for some of those landlords why. I had in another city, not New Orleans, but in another city when I did accept that type of rental situation where the government was, you know, basically subsidizing that rent. I mean, there are people that have been on Section 8 and their portion of the rent was just $5 a month. So I've known of people that have been evicted over not paying $5, their portion of the $5 rent, Section 8. I've heard that from other landlords. Now, in my personal case, all right, I had just fixed up a building in another city, not in the state of Louisiana, just fixed up a unit. It's a four-unit apartment building. And long story short, a guy, the renter, nice guy, I had no problems with him. He had a beef with the mother of his child, so he held them up hostage in the apartment along with the baby mom along with his daughter. Now, he released those two, you know, the mother of his child and his daughter. And this dude was only in his man, late 20s at the time, 30 at best. And long story short, you know, they were pumping tear gas in, and he killed himself, committed suicide. I had to clean that up. Now, the reason why I don't deal with government rent subsidies anymore is because I had just fixed up that apartment before he moved. He wasn't even there 2 months when this happened. So after I had to clean up some of his blood and whatever biological matter that was left on the wall and the carpet, and then tear gas was in there. I found out tear gas is really not gas. It's a real fine mist. I found that out the hard way because as I was inspecting the apartment, and you know what? And everybody cleared out of that building after that happened. So after that, I don't deal with government people.
That's
my PTSD. So I take my chances. I take my chances on a regular market, and I've even gone one step beyond that. But hey, but for other people, it works out.
It does, and I think that that's an extreme case. I mean, Section 8 residents do have not a good reputation when it comes to renting, but I do feel like that is sort of outdated. If the property owner does their qualifying of their resident correctly, I mean, it shouldn't pose too many issues. Things are not like how they used to be back in the day as far as a Section 8 tenant destroying a property, because that's the reputation. Oh, I don't want Section 8 tenants in my property because they're going to tear my house up. And today, it's not as popular as it was back in the day. They have that reputation of tearing a property up, but I mean, it's just not reality in today's time. There are situations where that does still happen, but it's not plentiful like it was a while back. And I think that people who hold those vouchers, they kind of get in the bad end of the stick because they're, you know, we have people that's stuck on what they were known for back in the days. I mean, I know plenty of people who have those vouchers and they take care of the home, I mean, as if it was their own. And I do know some people who, you know, will tear up a property. But I think the numbers, the good residents kind of outweigh the bad residents at this point. But I do understand from an investment point, from a landlord's perspective of why they wouldn't want to rent to a Section 8 tenant. But I kind of wish they kind of get over those fears, because it would help these residents out so much, and it would kind of prove them wrong. It'll solve a real housing crisis that we currently have right now. Not solve it, but it'll definitely put a dent in it a little bit.
Okay, and people that are, I got some calls here for you, but my board's frozen up, so I can't get to anybody that wants to ask any questions. That's Blog Talk Radio on occasion. Most days, though, it works normal. We can get to people normally for their comment and feedback. Now, to your knowledge, because I'm thinking you have a very, I mean, very valuable service that you offer with these solutions. Have you run across, because churches have all kind of ministries. They got a helps ministry. They got a sick and shut-in ministry. They got a prison ministry, a jail ministry. Some have a van to come pick you up to come to church. Mm-hmm. Are there any ministries? Oh, and a lot of them have a homeless ministry, which they might feed people a meal or what have you. The Salvation Army, they have dormitories for men and I guess some women and maybe some families. But in New Orleans is a church town, from my point of view.
Mm-hmm. It is.
So French Quarters and all, God lives in New Orleans. There's no doubt about it. But have you run across from a church level any churches that have a ministry that focuses in on this issue of property taxes and how to avoid losing their home through property taxes in New Orleans?
I haven't ran across that. No, I haven't. I can't say that I have. When we spoke about this the other day, you were putting ideas in my head. Like I said, I've never thought about expanding and speaking with, you know, church members and ministries about this. I haven't. That is something that I would definitely be interested in. It's a good idea. But no, I haven't ran across a housing ministry, right? Would it be?
Right. Yeah, under housing, because under that housing ministry, just with that, like you said, that niche that fell in your lap, mm-hmm. there's a whole lot of people that, I'm going to use another geographical area. And as a matter of fact, it's when I talk about chessboard, instead of being specific, their reunions, because we're coming up on Labor Day weekend. So for Labor Day weekend and Memorial Day weekend, that's passed for this year, but families and friends get together. Mm-hmm. And at every one of these reunions, there's typically somebody that has a housing issue. They can be behind on their water bill. They can be behind on their tax bill. They can be whatever it might be. Somebody's dwelling is in jeopardy. Maybe not at all these reunions on Labor Day weekend. Quite a few that you can start an industry out of it. However, a lot of these people come there and they don't share their story. And if you don't share your story, what's the expression? A closed mouth can't get fed.
Right.
So that's why I'm saying there's a, for instance, and this is why I brought up the church. There's a lot of people that go, Pastor, I'm behind on this. Pastor, I can't pay my property taxes. And Pastor, and I'm not judging Pastor. The Pastor does what he does, or she does what she does. Pastor is not an expert like you are. He's not a professional like you are. So Pastor mm-hmm. will pray for you. And on the way out the door, don't forget your tithes and offerings. That's where that goes. Mm-hmm. But there, to my knowledge, there's not a specific ministry that addresses this specific problem or might spiral or morph out of it. The problem, the people that are coming there with this problem, but they, you know, others, and they ask for show me a pastor, a rabbi, a priest, an imam, all of them, the common denominator with many of them is somebody's coming to them with a household issue. Mm-hmm. And they need spiritual support, but they also need technical support, and that's where you come in at. So
yeah.
That's why I brought that up to you.
Yeah, that makes so much sense.
Well, it's just like you mentioned earlier in this live stream. You know, it fell on your lap. You kept running back into the same people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some of those people might be churchgoers. I mean, if they could have solved the problem at church, you wouldn't have never known about it.
Right.
That's my thinking. So, anyway. Well, people that are in the studio audience, look, thank you for calling in and listening in to Miss King. My board is frozen. So
oh.
I can't get to their calls. I can't even play anything from my audio library right now. So, and then even early in the program, Miss King had to call me up on my other line. That's why I'm here now. I'm speaking on my smartphone. But Ms. King, give out your information again, and then we'd like to invite you back on again, because, like I said, you offer some very valuable information. So, what's your contact info again?
My cell phone number is 504-912-1477, and my email address is keil@lakpropertysolutions.com. And I invite any feedback because I would love to see what people think. I would love to hear some feedback. Like I told you the other day, I had to mentally prepare myself because I was just so nervous.
No, it's just a phone call. All it is a phone call. But I got people on the board with their hands up. But like I said, my board's frozen. I can't access anybody else. I can't, man, if I have outro music, I can't even access that. So when we end the program, I'll be hanging up the phone. That's not the usual process. But today I had to do it because the board's frozen. But yeah, I told you it's just a phone call. That's, you know, glorified phone call on the internet.
Right.
You know, so. And I start the program with a little motivation because some people might need it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But and some people, their mountain might be that tax, that, you know, that whatever they're dealing with. So so you're somebody that can help people remove those mountains.
Mm-hmm.
And you're a very unique guest in that respect. So I'll let you. We're going to have to do a hard close. I don't close like I can't close like I usually close. Because my board's frozen up on my laptop. But we will have Ms. King back. But Ms. King, I'm going to give you the last word of the day. Any
okay.
comments?
Yes. I just want to say thank you for having me on. This is the first time that I've spoken publicly about what I do.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate your feedback that you've given me. That's going to help me improve what I'm doing. And I want to say that the business is based off of service. There's a bunch of services that I offer and I perform for these residents before there's any type of monetary issues that become, you know, that any type of money issues become present. Not money issues, but any type of payment being received for anything. What I do is I get paid on the back end, so I like to call it a success fee. I only get paid if I'm successful in finding a solution to the resident's problem.
That's fair. Very fair. I like that business model.
Mm-hmm. And
I like the way you phrased it, success fee.
Yes, a success fee, because I'm not successful until I help you solve your issue.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that by being of service, I have gained a lot of meaningful relationships. I have and received that gratification that just, I mean, it's unexplainable the way it makes me feel to help people out of the situations that they're in. I mean, it's a certain feeling I get to snatch back these properties from these rich companies.
Colonizers.
Huh?
From the colonizers.
Colonizers, yes, yes. To snatch back these properties from the colonizers and put it back into the laps of the true owners, or just give the owner an option to where they're not completely X'd out of the equation, to where they're selling on
right.
their, may not be on your own time, but it's under your preferences more, you know. It just kind of puts them back in the equation of what's going on. And it feels good. It kind of feels like Robin Hood a little bit. But thank you for having me on. You've helped me get over my public speaking fear that I'm having. And I just appreciate
you. It's just a phone call. That's all it is, phone call. You know, other people are listening in. And other people can participate because I'm looking at my board. I just can't. My laptop, for whatever reason, is frozen. So I can't
mm-hmm.
patch them in to ask so they can ask you questions directly. But anyway, this is your first one, so I guess that's our first step, just getting you on here. So.
Yeah.
I don't know. and whatnot. So, all right, well, people, I usually have a theme music outro for this, but I can't play it today. So we're going to end with a hard close with just by hanging up. So thank you, Ms. King. I'll be in touch with you to set up another interview for hopefully the studio will be working right then. And people, everybody listening, have a very good rest of the day.
Thank you.